Are you ready for a ridiculously awesome career? Maybe it's time for a resume refresh. Today, we dive into the world of recruiting, resumes, interviews, and dream jobs with career strategist Jenny Foss. We had an absolute delightful conversation about how to stand out during that job interview, add your own flair, and make sure that when it comes to picking the right job candidate, you are the immediate and obvious choice. If you didn't know already, there's a bit more to it than simply adding every accomplishment that you've got since third grade onto your resume. And today, we're gonna talk about exactly what it takes to nail that interview and nab the dream job. So get ready to have some fun, as this interview was a blast and lots of energy. So sit back and relax.
Hello, everyone. I am extremely excited to welcome Miss Jenny Foss to the show today. She is a career strategist, a recruiter, and the voice of the popular career blog, JobJenny.com. She's the author of the ridiculously awesome resume kit, the ridiculously awesome career pivot kit, as well as the ebooks, To Whom It May Concern and How to Stop Sucking at Your Job Search. She's currently based in Oregon and seems to be having quite a bit of fun in her job, as you can see her personality shining through on her website that she is anything but boring. Jenny launched a weekend resume makeover course for those unbeatable job opportunities that tend to show up at the most inopportune moments. And of course, you can always find out more about Jenny's work on The Muse, as well as many other publications that she's worked with. And she has taken time out of her very busy schedule to be with us here today. So thank you for joining us, Jenny.
Well, thank you. That was quite an intro. I feel very accomplished when you put it that way. So thanks.
Well, you most certainly are accomplished. And if you don't mind, if you could tell everyone a bit about, you know, who you are and what you do in your own words.
In my own words. Well, you said it well with the intro. I have a bit of a hybrid job. I am a recruiter. We run a small recruiting agency. And in more recent years, I have focused on becoming a job search strategist or coach, a resume writer. And we have worked for 7 years to grow the career blog, JobJenny.com. So our basic focus, if you have to boil it all down, is helping people to get untangled and pointed in a direction that's going to lead them to meaningful, fulfilling work.
And what really started that inspiration to create this that you've gone with?
Well, I started recruiting 13 years ago. I had a friend who owned or co-owned a recruiting agency, and he did a very good job of sweet-talking me to drop everything. I was working in a corporate marketing leadership role at the time, and learn how to be a recruiter. He thought I would be good at it. A couple years in, he divested his stake in the agency that we worked at and moved. And so at that point, I had more or less figured out the business model for running an agency. So I spun out, formed my own agency. And then a few years in, it was when the economy fell apart. So around 2009, I was getting so many contacts from people who were being laid off, or they were worried that their jobs were at risk. And they were saying, you've got to help me. Help me do this job search. Help me with my resume. Help me find a new job. And my heart was just breaking for all of them. But unless you happen to work in the robotics industry, which is the very narrow field my recruiting is in, I really wasn't able to stop and help everyone. And so I just kept thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great if there were a place that people could come and go, get inspiration, get help that they need, get motivated. And then, oh, by the way, if they wanted my specific help in making a resume or needed some coaching, I would have an easy means to create a small business around that. And so I did that thinking it was just going to be this sideline job and something fun to do. And lo and behold, it spun very wildly, quickly into something quite different than that. So that's my main job today is as JobJenny.com.
That is an incredible story. Now,
I'm kind of an accidental entrepreneur in that regard.
Hey, it's quite all right, however you get into it. Now, out of all these different things between the recruiting and the resume writing and all the career advice, do you have like a favorite area that you like to work within?
Good question. And as much as I'd like to say resume writing, it is not. That's the one everyone always hopes is my favorite because no one likes to do that. I really love the part that comes before the paperwork, and that is taking somebody who is all balled up and looking at this thing that's not working for them in one big clump in a way that feels very overwhelming or confusing, and helping them pull the strings out, lay it all out there, and then put the pieces together in a way that will feel less overwhelming, creating kind of a sequential path that they can take and lead them out of where they are today, whether that's hating their job or unemployed or trying to get to the next level. That's the part I like.
And I was literally just given that advice earlier today where it, you know, sometimes a thing you think everything is crazy and it's a big ball, but you've got to start at making one decision and then the next and going from there. And to be able exactly. to help during that is so incredible for someone who's in that position.
Yeah. It feels horrible when you're looking at it all at once because you're not even sure what to focus on first and what sequence to take it in. And so a lot of people tend to do nothing. They're like, it's too big. I don't want to deal with that. So you're right. Figuring out the first steps and starting to move forward is often exactly what it takes because it starts to have the snowball effect. People start having little successes, feeling like this is doable and dare I say, fun. So they want to keep going. It's not fun for everyone, but certainly survivable.
Now, in terms of success stories, do you have any, you know, favorite clients or favorite light bulb moments where someone just took off and ran with it and did wonderfully?
You know, interestingly, I ran into one last night at an event, and he is originally from Texas and moved here, which I'm in Portland, Oregon, had been working very diligently to transition his life to the Pacific Northwest and work in IT. And I hadn't seen him, I don't think, in maybe a year or two, or I actually never saw him because he was in Texas when we worked together. So me seeing him was just like you and I are here today on Skype. And he came up and introduced himself and said, "Here I am. I made it to Portland. We're loving it here." Telling me what he's doing work-wise. And he just got bold. He and his wife got bold and made the move and did it in a strategic way. But that's my most recent favorite tale. But boy, I've got some great stories of people who either moved forward, however they defined forward, right, in their career. So sometimes it's, I landed this great manager job that I didn't know how to get to that level. Or it's people who have made dramatic shifts in what they do for a living and successfully.
Now, in your opinion, what would you say are the top two or three skills that are really needed to separate yourself from the pack in today's workforce?
Number one is willingness to reach out. Reach out, ask for support, ask curious questions, and be genuinely interested in the answers when they come back. Really, so many people are terrified of picking up the phone or going to an event and asking questions and introducing themselves. And so much of what happens in decision making when it comes to hiring begins with relationship. It doesn't begin with, "Oh, this resume came through the blind mailbox. Let's take a look." I'm not saying that doesn't happen that way, but you're going to put your best foot forward absolutely if, A, number one, you prioritize being bold and curious and out there. And then the second thing I think I would recommend is understanding that when you are making a career transition or a job change, that everything you're doing is a marketing campaign. And so how are you going to market yourself? What supporting paperwork do you need? And that's your resume, your LinkedIn, your cover letter, if you've got a personal blog. All of those should be working with you to entice your target audience. So if you can understand your target audience and their needs, it becomes a lot easier to market yourself as a professional.
I like that because people oftentimes just think that having the resume or having the cover letter is enough, and they don't think about actually marketing all of their skills and putting it together as one big package where those are only pieces of the puzzle.
Well, and a lot of people think that my resume is my autobiography or a list of everything I've ever done. It's not. It's a marketing document. And so, and you're trying to entice someone to make a purchase decision. In this case, the purchase decision is call me up for an interview. And so the more I can understand the needs of my audience and what they're going to prioritize, the easier it becomes to put something down on paper that introduces myself in a way that's going to resonate with them and prompt that purchase decision, which is pick up the phone and invite me in. So many people think that, oh, they'll just deduce that because I can do this, I'm automatically going to be good at this other thing that they need me to do. Not even close. They're never going to do that for you. Never. And the reason they aren't is they don't have a lot of incentive to do that, because someone in their pile of resumes is making it very easy for them to quickly understand how and why they make sense for the role. So they're going to talk to those people first. You want to be one of those people.
Yeah, you want to make the hiring agent's life as easy as possible. So when they take that resume to their boss or their superior, that it's, this is the candidate, this is it, you know, and the easier you can make their life, the easier it works for the job applicant.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
100% agree.
Now, I'd like to go back a little bit, and you talked about networking events and growing that valuable network and going out and building those relationships. So what are some ways that you can add your own flair or your personality to be remembered when you're going out to make those connections?
Wear a really outlandish costume. I'm just kidding.
Pumpkin costume.
If it's October, yes. This month, I would have said maybe Uncle Sam. No, I kid. I think part of being memorable is being genuine. We so rarely, I feel, come across people that you're like, oh, wow, that person was genuinely interested in me. They listened to me. They were genuinely interested in what I do and who I am. And so I think one of the best ways to be memorable in those settings, and I recognize this is hard for a lot of people because we all feel awkward in those conversations, is to ask curious questions and be genuinely interested in the people that you approach. And be fearless. I mean, be fearless in introducing yourself. I was, again, at an event last night, a gal came right up to me and introduced herself while I was waiting for a glass of wine. We ended up spending an hour collectively through the night talking. This morning, she corresponded with me, and I have a connection. She's relatively new in town. I have a connection that I think will be very valuable for her as she explores job opportunities. So kudos to her, because she was not only bold, I was one of the speakers, so I would say that I might be a little more intimidating to approach before the event because, oh, she's the speaker, right? But she went right up and we hit it off, and she was genuinely interested in my background, and I really appreciated it.
I think that's the other part that we haven't discussed yet, but I think is key, is the fact that she followed up to talk to you again the next day, which so many people leave on the table.
Yeah, and we had talked about yoga because we both do yoga, and she invited me to, if I ever wanted to come and do yoga where she goes, because we live kind of across town and don't go to the same place. But I just thought that was great. I mean, this was just, it was, the follow-up wasn't feeling like I'm totally hitting you up for 10 favors. It was more, I was really glad that we ran into each other last night.
Yeah, the giving value and being that genuine person first. We've interviewed over 24 people, and one of the biggest themes that people have been, that these executives and coaches and body language career experts across the board are saying, be genuine, be authentic. It's the most important thing to putting yourself in that right light, is forgetting all the things that we think we're supposed to do and really get genuine and get interested. So I love that you said the same thing along the lines.
Yeah. You know, career experts like myself, guilty as charged, we have all these rules of thumb and best practices and ways you should go about it. But when you get right down to it, there's no perfect one formula of how you have to go through this in a very regimented manner. You are correct. The number one thing is to be genuine, engaged, enthusiastic as you move forward, because that just shines through. We all want to be around people who are like that.
Now, on the flip side, what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes people make during that job search or interview process?
I think overall in job search, one of the primary mistakes is just sitting behind your computer and applying for job after job after job through online portals. I'm certainly not suggesting don't do that ever, but that's a very passive way to go about search. And you're relying, especially if you're applying for jobs with mid to large size companies, you're relying likely on a resume scanning software, not a human, to make the first decision about whether you're going through to be interviewed or not. And I will tell you that resume scanning software, it's not, you know, the perfect science. It has not been perfected in a way that gets you through if you're supposed to go through. And so that's relying too much on chance. And it could put you in a long haul situation with a job search. And then I think another thing people do poorly is they hear they need to network, and the way that they network is going out and just ambushing strangers for big favors, you know, walk this resume over to someone that you know, or can I have 2 hours of your time on a Tuesday evening? So I always say, this is a lot like dating. You would never walk into a bar, see somebody attractive, pound your hand down on the bar next to this beautiful person and say, I think we should get married. I mean, you just wouldn't do it. If you did, I don't think it'll work. But that's kind of the feeling a lot of professionals are experiencing when people they've never heard of, known, been approached by come and ask for these big asks. I said ASKS, by the way, there. So start small. Find somebody on LinkedIn maybe and say, you know, I noticed you're doing this really cool thing at this company. May I ask you two quick questions about your experience? They might say no. And if they do, you're right to the exact spot you started at. But they very well may say yes. You can ask a couple of questions that are on your mind. And then if it's feeling appropriate to do so, parlay that into a conversation where you're building rapport before you ever ask for anything that's going to be uncomfortable for them or make them feel resentful, because they'll just shut down.
That's it.
That's another big mistake I think people make, is very awkward networking.
Yeah, those relationships are so important. And so let's say that someone has gone through, you know, the resume process and they've been selected for an interview. And during that one-on-one time, what are some of the ways that they can come into that meeting prepared to make sure that they are standing out more than every other candidate?
There are a lot of ways. Number one is absolutely do your homework on what's going on within that organization, not just on their website, but see if there's any news and things being discussed on social media platforms that are emerging topics in that organization. If you know of anyone or can cultivate an in within that organization or within the department that you're interviewing with, it's absolutely a great idea to ask someone for kind of a pulse on what's really going on in the group. What are the needs? What's the hiring manager really looking for? Because a lot of times the job description doesn't really tell the whole tale. And that can help you strategize and prepare. And then also something important is going into that first interview, realizing that at this stage of the game, it's less about what you want and more about what they need. it will certainly factor in what your career goals are and what you want out of the deal as it's established that they want you. But at the very beginning, I would not go in and immediately start asking about salary and company car and perks and this and vacation and that, because you're not at that stage yet. You're at the stage where you need to establish what's in it for them if they bring you into the organization.
Fantastic. Being prepared, doing that homework, and making sure that you're asking the right questions. Now, you brought up salary, and that's, you know, for a lot of people, it sort of gets to be taboo when they talk about money in that negotiation. So what are some ways if someone says, you know, if the salary's not on the table, you don't have that range of, well, this is a $60,000 a year job I'm applying for, or they say like, well, you know, what do you think you're worth? Or when they ask the candidate to put out that salary, what are some of the ways that, you know, they can give their value without offending or not shortchanging themselves?
You're pretty much always at a disadvantage if you throw out the first number, because if you shoot out a number that's uncomfortably high, when in fact you might have taken a lower number because you love this job so much, you make the hiring team uneasy and you might rule yourself out because you're too expensive. If you throw out a number that's too low, they may have been perfectly willing to pay you more, but you've just locked yourself into a lower salary. You know, congratulations. So when you get asked that question, I would always try to say, hey, if okay by you, what I'd really love to do is talk further about what you need in, you know, in this person who you hire, and I can share with you what I think I can bring into the organization. And then, assuming there's a mutual fit, I am sure that we'll get to an agreeable number if that's okay with you. And so it's kind of buying yourself some time so that they can fall further in love with you. And then really you're at the best point for negotiating when it's established that they want you.
Right.
And not a minute sooner.
Fantastic. Now, how would you say that the process for landing a job has changed over the last 5 to 10 years with the rise of technology and all these new LinkedIn and social platforms and media coming in?
I think one of the big ways it's changed is that social media has given us the opportunity for the first time in history to get directly to people at any level. And so we have a platform from which we can build relationships that we may have had a harder time having access to, that could be really influential and beneficial when you're trying to transition into a new company or a new industry. Social media also has given us a very easy way to establish thought leadership. So you can position yourself as, if not an expert, somebody who is passionate, engaged, and intelligent about that field or sector that you either are in now or really want to start shifting into. And so, I mean, if you think about jobjenny.com, I am largely on the map throughout the United States and globally because of social media. And it was a very intentional strategy so that I wasn't just a job search coach here in Portland, Oregon, that I was findable and known by clients abroad. I mean, everywhere.
Right. And doing social media and blogging and your own website in the right way is such an extension, more than your resume and your cover letter, when someone can
see
what that stands for.
Or even if you're sitting there listening to this thinking, I'm not doing a blog, that's too much work, I don't even know, I'm not a good writer or whatever, you can use LinkedIn for even short articles maybe you post or share, even if they haven't been written by you, where it's showing on an ongoing basis that not only are you tech savvy because you're using social media platforms, but that you are passionate and engaged within your field. Because if you couldn't care less about a particular field, you're not going to be writing about it or sharing articles about it or going to conferences about it, etc.
Absolutely. You're just showing that passion and you're showing that proactive approach. So it just makes it easier and easier to be the one that gets hired.
Yeah. And on Twitter, you can use it to retweet things that are interesting to you and get on the radar of other established players in your field. And so that can be very helpful too, if you can find ways to strategically ride on the coattails of the bigger people, and they will begin to take notice if you do it in the right way. Well, they'll probably take notice if you do it the wrong way too. It might not work in your favor though.
So that has been awesome. I'd like to transition to a little bit about you, and if you could share some of the projects that you're working on or what's coming in the pipeline in the Job Jenny world.
Well, we have recently turned our services back on. We were down for a while earlier this year, because not only did we have a big influx of orders that really taxed the system earlier in the year, but I was diagnosed with an eye problem that significantly limited my screen time for a few months, which was really a little challenging when you consider I spend 12 plus hours a day at a computer. So we're back doing our services. We've also begun plans to take our online course, which is called Weekend Resume Makeover, into a live event. So we hope by fall or at the latest winter to pilot the live course. To try and make it a little bit more personal and one-on-one with people who that would be meaningful for. And then I am co-producing an online career conference, which will come out this fall, that is geared toward career pivoters. So we've gathered up a bunch of quote-unquote career experts who have expertise in both people making corporate pivots and people pivoting into entrepreneurship. So we have been kind of headfirst in that for the last several weeks, and that will be coming out in September.
That's exciting. Now, if someone wants to find out about all this and some of the resources that I know you offer, what's the best way for them to find that information or get in touch with you?
Certainly just head over to jobjenny.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, which is also at jobjenny, or head over to our Facebook page. But most of our activities going on the webpage, on Twitter, and obviously on my LinkedIn page too, which is just linkedin.com/in/JennyFoss.
Wonderful. Now, I know that, you know, you've set so many people on the right career path. You've inspired dozens and hundreds of people over the last decade of working in this industry. But who would you say is an inspiration to you?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I have kind of different pockets of inspiration with people. I will say right now, one of my online inspirations has been Ashley Amberger. She runs a site called The Middle Finger Project, which in spite of the tongue-in-cheek title of the site, she is an incredible, engaging entrepreneur, and someone who helps a lot of people build their business through using your genuine personality to grow. So I think the world of her. I follow along with, in the career space, Jenny Blake is very admirable. And Scott Barlow and Paul Angoni are some of my favorites. And by the way, all of them are in the career conference that we're talking about. And then, you know, on the outside, I look to others that I just admire personally. I have recently gotten involved as a national speaker for an organization called RAIN, which is the country's largest anti-sexual abuse nonprofit. So through that experience so far, I'm meeting people who are just heroes. I mean, they're just heroes. And so through both my personal involvements and my business involvements, I kind of have pulled pieces of inspiration from a lot of places.
Very nice. Good answers. Now, do you have some favorite books or book recommendations to the listeners out there?
So from a career standpoint, sure. A couple of the great ones I would recommend. One is Cal Newport, who is a computer scientist out of Georgetown, who for his graduate thesis studied the belief that if you follow your passion, you'll find long-term career fulfillment. So he scientifically studied it. And what he found was that in most instances, there's an inverse relationship between those who have followed their passion and those who cite long-term career fulfillment. It's just an incredible read, and it really changed the way I look at how you go about finding career fulfillment. That book he wrote is called So Good They Can't Ignore You. And then I also am a big fan of Pam Slim. Her body of work book kind of teaches you how to figure out how the threads of your story come together to either make your career story or will inform your decisions on building a business. Gary Vaynerchuk is also, I'm a big fan of his, and his one of his earlier books, Crush It, How to Cash In on Your Passion, which is kind of funny. It's like the opposite of what Newport is saying. Don't cash in on your passion. But Vaynerchuk helped me a lot in figuring out how to leverage the power of the internet and social media to engage people and build your business. So those would be among my three favorites, but I mean, I could talk for a half a day on career books that I really like.
Awesome. Awesome. Now this is a fun one. If you could have a conversation with anyone, past, present, future, fact or fiction, who would it be?
Don't make me cry with this one, but it would be my dad. So I moved to Portland 8 years ago, almost 8 years ago today, from Michigan. I grew up in Metro Detroit, and I had a young daughter at the time, and we had this great opportunity to come west, and I knew I loved Portland, so I unplugged my office, loaded up a moving van, and got ready to go. It really broke my dad's heart. He was very close to me, but certainly he just absolutely loved my daughter, who was three at the time. And he was upset when we moved. And we went back to visit about a month later. And I didn't know it was the last time I was going to see my dad. And so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So we flew back to Portland after the visit, and the visit was really good. It was a very kind of calming the waters kind of visit, because I knew he was super disappointed. It wasn't hours after we landed in Portland that my sister called and said, you need to hurry up and come home. It's dad. And so I don't feel like I ever had a real chance to kind of, I don't know, just talk to him about a lot of life and career stuff. I think he would be really proud to see what became of what I'm doing since then. And so, I mean, it may sound cliche, but I would just love to sit down with my dad again and have that chance that I thought I'd have plenty of chance to, and I didn't, unfortunately.
I don't think that's a cliche one bit. And it has been surprising, out of so many people that we've interviewed, different family members that people would want to talk to more than the movie stars and the famous people. And I think it pays testament to how important family and those loved ones around you can be in your life, and how we need to value them, how they are, and that they're in our lives at the moment.
Yeah, you figure the famous people, if you work it the right way, and maybe this is kind of just naivete or arrogance on my part, I feel like if I tried hard enough, I could probably get on the radar of someone alive that I really, really want to have a conversation with. I have that much belief in the power of the internet. Not so much the case when someone has passed away and you've missed a chance to have that time and have those conversations. I mean, I just thank goodness that we flew home just on time, because no one knew he was sick. So
absolutely. Now, final question. Is there anything that you wish I had asked that we haven't covered yet?
Well, I think in thinking about the audience that you serve, which if I'm understanding, it's people who either are currently navigating job search or kind of feeling like I'm not quite in the spot where I want to be, and I'm not really sure what to do next. maybe I wish you would have asked, and I'm going to answer the question. If someone's in that spot, what's the very first thing that they should do? Very first thing. And I think that the very first thing that people should do is kind of get quiet with themselves. No matter how harried your life, find a way, any way, to get some space. Because when your brain's on fire with stress and busyness and exhaustion, it's really, really hard to cook up, you know, the what comes next game plan. And we tend to make knee-jerk decisions when we're in that spot. And so I really am a big proponent of finding any which way to either take a few days off of your job if it's killing you, or find, you know, some meditation or whatever. It would take a walk in the woods, whatever it is for you that gives you that clarity and space. Or if you don't know, just try a couple of them, because you're going to make better decisions and be able to create a game plan that's actually sane and worthwhile if you've been able to calm yourself or get clear head.
Right. And that self-reflection can key you into what you actually want, not necessarily what the opportunity is or the job or the search, but what do you really want to get? And then from there, you can make a plan. But the first thing is you have to understand what it is that they want.
And for the younger adults or earlier career people that are listening to this, I think another important message is you don't have to figure out the perfect answer with your next move. There's so much runway in front of you, so much runway. Even for people who are in their 40s, unless you're planning to retire when you're 50, you got a lot of runway in front of you still. And so I certainly think make informed decisions, but I see so much analysis paralysis that results in no movement. So you absolutely do not have to have it all figured out. God knows, you know, I had no idea that my job went from being a newspaper reporter to a marketing manager to a recruiter to what I do today. I could have never figured out that all of those things that I did in the past would be the perfect culmination for what I do today. Never would I have thought that, but here I am. So absolutely don't get too spun out about, you know, oh my gosh, what happens if I don't make the perfect decision? Because chances are you might not, and that's okay.
Love it, love it. And then is there any final words of wisdom you'd like to leave everyone with?
I think that we're all here to contribute something special to this world. And feel fulfilled and feel like you're genuinely enjoying your time, even as you're, you know, rolling up your sleeves and working hard. And so I always tell people, you don't just have the right to find that. I do feel that you have that obligation. And so do what you can to over time, you know, it's going to be through trial and error, but get to that spot, because you don't, not only do you deserve that, but I do think that the world deserves whatever that best thing is that you have to contribute.
I love it. Thank you so much. You've given some incredible insight, some wonderful tips and tricks, and we touched on all different topics. I really appreciate the
knowledge. Oh, thank you. It's been great being here, and we've been super lucky because my sleeping dog next to us here has decided to actually not participate in the conversation. So we lucked out on that one today.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to be here with us.
Thank you. Well, let's do it again sometime, and I'll look forward to our next chat.
Sounds great.
All right. Take care.
And that's all, folks. What'd you think? Let me know the favorite thing that you learned in the comments below. We'd love to hear from you. And if you know someone who could use a bit of inspiration or is maybe looking for a career change, go ahead and be a pal. Share this video with them. You know, sharing is caring. Below, I've included links to Jenny's website, all of her courses, and more. So if there's something that we talked about and you want to learn more about it, simply read the description below. I try to make it as simple as possible, super easy peasy for you. As always, click subscribe in the corner so that you never miss anything, because every Wednesday, we're releasing brand new expert interviews so that you can learn the very best tips and tricks right from the source. And don't forget to check us out on the web, lifessecretsauce.com, where you will find all about our brand new Millennial Magnetism course. Discover how to unleash your inner awesome, accelerate your career, make more friends, make more money in only 10 minutes a day. Want to find out more? Once again, where are the links? In the description below. Until next time, ciao for now.